Proverbs 13. Proverbs 13. Anybody discouraged tonight? One or two people? Okay. Praise God. Proverbs 13:12, please. Proverbs 13:12 says, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when the desire is fulfilled, it is a tree of life." Romans chapter 5 and verse 5 says, "Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Ghost." Disappointments come to everybody. We've all been disappointed at one time or another in our lives. I don't know if you've ever been disappointed so bad that you wanted to quit. You know, quit your project or quit believing in somebody or just quit God or quit church or whatever. There's many times people get so discouraged. Proverbs 12 and 13 says when your goal doesn't seem like, you know, it was so far away, it's unachievable. It says that it makes your heart sick. It makes you get so disappointed, so feeling discouraged, so discouraged. It's common. It's a common experience when the people are discouraged or disappointed. It's a common experience that everyone has. In the course of human nature, there's always been all kinds of disappointments that people have suffered. There's been times last year I've been disappointed so many times about different things, you know. Plans don't work out. And disappointed with people. I think the biggest disappointment is people. You know, you hope that they pull up their socks and follow God and do different things or just keep on going. And I think watching other people fail to hit the mark. And it can discourage you after working with people so many times. You get to a certain point and then bang, they're gone again. So we've all experienced disappointment. Learning how to deal with disappointment is the key to having a happy and victorious life. The Bible reveals that many of God's leaders and many of God's people have experienced various kinds of disappointments, but they did not let that disappointment keep them from going ahead and achieving their dreams. Disappointments come many times from different kinds of reasons, as I mentioned. There's different kinds of reasons why you would be disappointed and your goal is not, doesn't seem achievable, it's so far away, you're lacking in some area and you can't seem to get there, you don't know how you're going to get there, in your human power you don't seem like you could get there. But we need to understand what disappointment will do in your life, how it affects you, how disappointment affects you spiritually. You know, when someone is disappointed in life, the Bible says that disappointment caused the people to get sick, spiritually sick. You're all drained out from your enthusiasm. You know, the word enthusiasm means God in you, right? God, full of God and full of the vigor of God. And somebody comes along and some issue or something comes along and bursts that balloon. And all your energy that God gave you, it just sapped right out. And you're so disappointed. I don't think you'll ever get to the place where you will not have to tackle it and learn how to control it and learn how not to have it overtake your life. So there are impacts on your psychological part of your life, your mentality. It'll affect how you think. It'll affect how you feel every day. Disappointments will come sometimes, you know, in small ways, sometimes in a big way, sometimes a number of them come along, and they all add up if you don't deal with it. So we read that scripture in Proverbs 13:12. It says that hope deferred, like a hope meaning dreams that you have about your future, hope deferred, or when you have a dream that you have to put off until further notice or whatever, maybe for a long, long time or forever, and you only have a certain point in time. Say, for instance, there's some folks, they feel that they have to go to school at a certain time and achieve a certain level. You want certain achievements in your life, like, you know, you want to buy a house and you want to make sure you have your children by the time you're 30 and by the time you're, you know, whatever age. Or you want a house at a certain time, or you want to get married at a certain time. And if you don't get that, then you feel disappointed, or you didn't get your degree, or you didn't have your whatever project done. And when that goes away, the Bible says, when that dream goes away, the Bible tells us that we get spiritually disturbed or spiritually sick. The energy that we have in us is zapped away. And so you feel like, you know, you don't have a hope in life. You don't have any kind of dream. You have to be able to encourage yourself. We need to learn how to cope with disappointments. Or disappointments will be able to is going to overtake you, and that you don't know how to get yourself out of it. So there's an impact on your spiritual life as well. Say, for instance, when someone gets so discouraged about God and about the Bible, they get sick. How many people know when you get sick, emotionally get sick, you stop eating? You don't want to drink. You just kind of like sit there. You don't do the normal things you used to do. You don't want to go exercise. You don't want to go for a walk anymore. You don't want to enjoy simple things. And it affects you emotionally. When you're sick spiritually, you don't want to read your Bible. You don't want to pray. You don't want to go to church. You want to avoid Christians. You don't want to talk to God. And that tells you that you're sick. When someone's sick, has the flu, they don't want to eat. They can't enjoy life. They're so distressed, and their humanity is a physical part of their lives. Can't enjoy those simple things that give us pleasure, like having a nice steak, which I had tonight. Sully, I gave Sully some, too. He needs something. He's discouraged. He hasn't seen his mom for a while. Dogs get discouraged, too. So I'm trying to take care of them. So we need to know sometimes why people are disappointed. Ask yourself, why have you been disappointed in different areas? As a definition, disappointment, the dictionary talks about to disappoint means to fail to fulfill a hope. Well, that's what the Bible says. Proverbs 13:12, like hope deferred makes the heart sick. So the Bible, the dictionary, regular dictionary says the failure to fulfill hope or an expectation. What you expect didn't happen the way you thought it would. It means to fail at something. It means to be defeated. To be defeated in that sense, the failure of expectation. It's a state of depression in the psychological part of your being, caused by failure. When you fail, you get disappointed. It means to be frustrated, sometimes be humiliated, or it means to be, you know, you get a sense of defeat, and then you get a depression. Comes on you. And so we wanna have fulfillment in life. We wanna have pleasure in life. We want to attain. One of the, you know, we at college, you know, we teach students about these kind of things. You know, how to have success as a student, the academic life, and how to achieve your goals for a career. You know, we've been teaching that for years at the school. And sometimes, you know, the psychologists tell us that people who don't meet expectations, there's something in their lives that's causing them to not get there where they're supposed to be. Sometimes just simple things in life cause you to be a failure. Just small things. The Bible says that little foxes spoil the vine. So a number of little things, you know, upset you along the way, and all of a sudden, you know, somebody said, I don't understand, you know, why he got upset for such a small thing. What is it? How does it say? Is a straw that broke the camel's back? So just a small thing, a little fox, spoil the vine. Well, there's different things that affect people, you know, in different ways. So failure means, in real reality, it means where two points fail to meet. Defeat and disappointment, that's what it means. Disappointment means when your point doesn't meet together. Your expectation has been disturbed. Discouraged means that your goals or your expectations are not met. Where two points do not meet in life. Sometimes you fail to see eye to eye with someone. You don't go on the way you should go. Like a lot of times I tell people when we're doing different counseling, I said, you know, what if just, I always try to play what they call the devil's advocate. That's a funny term. A pastor playing the devil's advocate. I hate that. Can somebody give me another term that we could use? But that seems like a worse term you can find, so let's use it. What does that mean? It means that you point out certain things in people's lives that the worst scenario in their situation that could take their dream apart. So you say, what if this happens? What if that happens? So they'll say, well, I'll tell you what, you know, hey, the Lord is my helper. I shall not be disappointed. After the counseling session's over. Now you're laughing at night right now, but it means to your appointment has failed. That which you have appointed as far as the goal is, you didn't reach it. Disappointments are real, a real letdown. It's when life fails you, or life fails to meet your expectations. Every one of us should have expectations, but they don't always meet to that area where we want it to be. W.E. Vine of New Testament Bible words, he says disappointment means to be disheartened. It means an act of behavior of discouragement, a lack of spirit or confidence, a depression, and that which disparages, a sense of dejection and despair or hopelessness. He says that's what the word means. So why do people get discouraged, or why do people get disappointment in their life? Well, first of all, the Bible says, let's go over here to a couple of scriptures. We'll look at, let's go to 2 Samuel, and let's see what 2 Samuel says. Are you ready to learn something? Well, I heard three voices, so I'm going to go ahead. 2 Samuel, And let me just pick it up here. Chapter 12, 2 Samuel chapter 12. And let's go ahead and read over here. I'm reading the, let me just read the New Living Translation. So the Lord sent Nathan, the prophet, to tell David this story. There were two men in a certain town. One was rich, the other one was poor. The man owned a great many sheep and cattle. The poor man owned nothing but one little lamb and he had bought. He raised that little lamb and it grew up with his children and ate from the man's own plate and drank from his cup. Sounds like Sully. He cuddled it in his arms like a baby daughter. Again, that sounds like Sully again. One day, a guest arrived at the home of the rich man. But instead of killing the animal from his own flock or herd, he took the poor man's lamb and killed it and prepared it for his guest. What a guy. That's what, you know, what we think, right? Well, David was furious. As surely as the Lord lives, he vowed, any man who would do such a thing deserves to die. He must repay four lambs to the poor man for the one he stole and for having no pity. And Nathan said to David, you are that man. The Lord, the God of Israel, said, I have anointed you king of Israel and saved you from the power of Saul. I gave you your master's house and wives and kingdom of Israel and Judah. And if it had not been enough, I would have given you much, much more. You know, sometimes when we go through life, we think we're on top, but God wants to give you more than you're actually enjoying. Some people go a certain level with God, and they're enjoying some things, but then they give up, right? Why then have you despised the word of the Lord and done this horrible deed? For you have murdered Uriah, the Hittite, with a sword, the Ammonite, and stole his wife, or stolen his wife. From this time on, your family will live by the sword, because you have despised me by taking Uriah's wife to be your own. This is what the Lord says. Because of what you have done, I will cause your own household to rebel against you. I will give your wives to another man before your very eyes, and he will go to bed with them in public view. You did it in secretly. Oh, I'll do this. I'll make this happen to you openly in the sight of all Israel. We see here in this verse of Scripture, if you go read in verse 15, after Nathan returned to his home, the Lord sent a deadly illness to the child of David and Uriah's wife. And David begged God to spare the child, but he went without food and lay all night in the bare ground. And the elders of his household pleaded with him to get up to eat with them, but he refused. And on the seventh day, the child died, and David's advisors were afraid to tell him. He wouldn't listen to reason. While the child was ill, and they said, what drastic thing will he do when we tell him the child is dead? So here we see a great disappointment in this man, David. What happened to this man that he got so in despair? You know, like disappointment can turn to despair. Well, what happened to him? Well, he got into sin. The biggest thing in people's lives, while they get discouraged, is because they get into some kind of sin in their lives. Because they want something else so much, they kind of try to help God out. They try to help God out the different things. You see this all the time in the Scripture. You see this in human life where people try to help God. I'm going to help God out. And so they make a plan, and it sounds good to the human mind and their reasoning, but they don't know everything because they don't follow what God says. So David got discouraged because he fell into, you know, his own sin, his own lusts. And verse 15. Let's go look at verse 15 again. After he refused to, he says here, a deadly illness came to David. That God had to allow a deadly, sin, or at least a disease upon the situation here. You know, we need to understand that Jesus, the Bible says, He took our infirmities. He died for our sins. And he also died for our sicknesses. When the man at the, you know, who was sick, you know, Jesus said, sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. Because you can see the association right there. You know, because, you know, if we get out from the under God's protection and get out on our own, we can cause sickness to come to our lives. You can cause depression to come to your life. Second thing that we need to understand, let's go to Psalm 107. Psalm 107. Psalm 107. And let's go read verse 17 and then read verse 18. Some were fools, they rebelled and suffered for their sins. Verse 18, they couldn't stand the thought of food and they were knocking on death's door. We see here what happened to some folks. Why discouragement comes is because they've been foolish with their lives. They've neglected to take care of their lives. And so what happens is that if you don't take care of your life, take care of yourself, say, for instance, if you just understand health, they tell us, if you understand stress management and all that stuff, people who work and have different jobs, you know, they can get stressed out, and what happens is that some people get more are susceptible to getting depressed because they don't eat right, they don't sleep right, they just don't take care of themselves. They're foolish. They don't take care of their body. They don't take care of their mentality. They don't think about what they think about. They don't reject thoughts that shouldn't come into their mind. You have to push that out. And so we need to understand that we have to take care of ourselves. Not to foolishly walk into sin, and also not to be able to take care of yourself, take care of your own life, take care of your body, take care of your mind, take care about how you eat, and some people get depressed and they get all worked up because they don't their body is running on empty. So we can. Sometimes a problem can come, thirdly, is because our character has been undeveloped. Over there in 1 Kings 19:23, we see Jezebel and Elijah. The Bible said Elijah got discouraged when Jezebel said, I'm going to kill you. So he ran, and he ran in fear, He just got away. He should have stood up to this woman and know that God was going to be there for him. God didn't call him to be a prophet by himself. He was a prophet of God, not a prophet of himself. So he had to be able to stand up with character, and leave things as it is with the things of God where it needs to be, and take care of yourself. One of the things he said over in 1 Kings 19:14, he said, I'm the only one left. But God reassured him. He said, you're not the only one. And sometimes we need to be reassured that you're not the only one. Sometimes you think you're the only one that's suffering. So his character needs to be developed. And he had to understand that he is not the only one out there doing the work of God. Sometimes as a leader, or if you're working in church, you think you're the only one. Why do I have to do this? Why does it have to be all the time me? I'm thinking about certain people. Looking around here, there's most of the workers. Why do I have to clean the church? Well, you get to clean the church. These people like it. I don't know why they like it so much. They say, oh, wow, this is a great job, man. Ooh. They clean the church every week. But it's nice. So we need to be able to, understand you can get discouraged by events in life and what's going on in your life. Learn how to throw that on God. Learn how to give responsibility to where people are supposed to be responsible for certain things. You can't carry people. You know, one of the things as a minister I've learned is that I can't heal everybody. If they won't come and listen to me when they're well, and when they're on the deathbed, sometimes I can't, most of the time I can't help them because they never spend the time listening. When they're supposed to be there Wednesday, they never showed up Wednesday. When we had a teaching along a certain line, a certain time, and they had a problem, they want my time apart, you know, several sessions, and they never took the time to learn, to be at the seminar for children or leadership or work or whatever. So we have to be able to understand about responsibility. So what do we do when we're discouraged? Well, sometimes you can be so pressed beyond measure. Let's go to 2 Corinthians here. Remember, it says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. You can be so discouraged in life that you want to quit everything. I've had people say to me, Pastor, I'm quitting, you know, I'm quitting the church for the second and third time. Quitting the church again. Well, okay. Sometimes we get really discouraged. We can get very discouraged sometimes when we quit church. Because everybody's after them. They're the only ones that's doing the ministry. If it wasn't for them, this whole place would fall apart. Amen. If it wasn't for my money, my old tithe, I'd give $20 every week for the last 16 years. Some of you can't laugh at that because you need to understand, you got to laugh at yourself once in a while. That's how you can be sane. You laugh at yourself. Bible says a merry heart does like medicine. Did you find 2 Corinthians? For over here in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8, let's go ahead and read it in the Amplified Bible. For we want you to be, we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about the afflictions, the oppressing distress which befell us in the province of Asia, how we were so utterly, unbearably weighed down and crushed that we despaired even of life itself. You know, pressure is relative. Having to be stressed out is all relative to the situation or the person. What you're stressed out about, what somebody else would never be stressed about. And if you look at somebody and say, that guy, why is he so stressed out for? And then when it's your turn, you're all stressed out about something that the other guy says, how can he be so stressed out about that? It's all in context. So we feel pressure in certain ways, because we feel like we're jeopardizing what we are, whatever goal we have. He says in here, are we in verse 9? Indeed, we felt within ourselves that we had received the very sentence of death, that was to keep ourselves from trusting and depending on ourselves instead on God, who raises the dead. For it is he who rescued and saved us from such a perilous death, and he will rescue and save us, and on him we have set our hope. You set your hope on God. Whatever goal that you have, bring it to God and say, God, here's the goal I have. And then you have to check it out, whether or not God wants you to do it. Sometimes we're going against God's will, trying to get to somewhere what you're doing. If God allows you, then thank God. We can be successful in any endeavor. How many people know that? The Bible says you can be successful no matter what you do. Deuteronomy, said over there that we can be successful in everything we do. I believe it's 6 or chapter 8 there tells us we can be that. So, what do we do? Well, first of all, we have to turn to God. 1 Corinthians 10:13 said there's nothing in this life that can take you out unless, you know, you allow things to take you out. Let's go to check. Like it says, no temptation or what is it? 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. Is that what it says? 1 Corinthians 10 and 13. As you can see, it says here, there's no temptation that's taken you, but such as common to man. But God is faithful. Is he faithful? Has he been faithful to you? Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape. He's going to find a way for you when there's no way. Skin of your teeth. You got a way again. So what do you do, first of all? Well, we're going to turn to God. Remember the story in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. That king, his name was Jehoshaphat. Remember him, Judah? Three armies came against him. He had a small army. Those armies came against him. They're going about to annihilate them. And the Bible says what he did, he said he set himself to seek the Lord. He began to pray. He turned to God. He said, I can't, there's no way I'm going to be able to handle this situation. Right? And he began to pray. He began to tell God. He rehearsed in God's ears. He says, God, you know, didn't you were the same God who rescued my ancestors? Didn't you say this? Didn't you say that? Didn't you say if we have plagues, you'd heal us? Didn't you say if if we're being pursued by enemies? Didn't you say that? He began to argue his case. And he began to tell, you know, when you're singing songs like Sunday morning, you're arguing your case. You're singing scripture songs about what God's going to do in your life. And you're renewing your mind as you're not just singing songs. If you sing scripture songs, you're washing your mind. You're renewing your mind as you're singing songs. You're training your spirit as you're singing scripture songs. And you're putting that in your spirit as you sing those songs. And you're confessing that song. And by the time the music ministry is over, and you're ready to go home right then. Because you just got anointed. You just got blessed. And you just feel real good after. I'm serious. That's what happens. Just sometimes one song. And change your life right around. Oh, hallelujah. So Jehoshaphat said this. He was so discouraged about these armies coming against him. He said two things that will just change your life. He said, first of all, God, I'm not able to do this. I can't handle this myself. I'm looking to you to solve this for me. So when you got this discouragement in your life, you need to turn to God and say, God, I can't handle this. I can't do this on my own. Well, he knows that, but you need to admit that. He needs you to admit that. Say, God, I can't do this. I need you to be with me over here. He said, and he tells you, that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to be with you. But you keep going over there, and I can't go there. I remember listening to Brother Hagin. He said, you know, he had this vision, you know, in 1987, camp meeting. And he said, I'm praying, and suddenly I'm up in the Spirit. I'm in the Spirit. Over the convention center in Tulsa, he said, and Jesus said, come on up, we'll look at, he said, do you see all these men over here in all the front row, all the reserve section, all these ministers? These are my ministers, he said. They prayed to me and asked me to bless their ministry. He said, I want to, but I can't. Because a lot of what they're asking is not in my will for them. Psalm 127, which brings us to mind, that is, unless the Lord builds a house, they that labor in vain. It means that there's some people that build things, maybe even ministries, that God was never in it. Some people have goals that they did that maybe they're disappointed. Maybe they should ask God first what they should do. And they keep getting disappointed and keep getting disappointed. And they, you know, for myself, you know, I just, if God tells me different things, I go ahead and do it. And I just leave it up to God. Brother Hagin, he said this, and that's what I follow. I said, you know, hey, if you can't do it, then I can do it. If God, you can't do it, then so I'm going to tell everybody you can't do it. If he told me he's going to do it, then he's going to do it. And so he's going to sustain you. And you know, if you read the men of God in the Old Testament, I pray to God, you know, they told God, they talked to God like you talk to your friend. Like, you know, hey, God, listen, you know. They argued their case. And I've done it in very critical situations in my family's life where I said, God, listen, you said to do this, and I'm having this trouble, and you know, I'm just about dying over here, or running out of this, running out of that, and listen, you need to help me out over here. You're the one that got me out over here. Get me out of this. And sometimes God says, I didn't tell you to do that. Some of you need to ask yourself whether or not, you know, God told you to do something. You're discouraged, but you're discouraged because you're doing what you want to do. You know, God allows you to do a lot of things. Israel was never meant to have a king. But they bugged God so much, and God told the prophet, yeah, go ahead and give him a king, but it's not my will. But hear what the kings will do for those guys. Here's what's going to happen to them. If you pray, ask God long enough, he'll give you what you want until you got what you want and got your own way, but it wasn't his will. He'll allow you. He'll have to allow you because you want to do that. And so we have to be careful to turn everything over to the Lord. So number two, you have to, you know, find scriptures and apply yourself, apply your beliefs in God's goodness. Find some scripture that says, talks about God's goodness. If you're disappointed. Very often at night, I'll have something, maybe the devil will even talk to me. A lot of times he tries to talk to me when I get up in the middle of the night because I'm fresh, I could hear this, and he'll say something to me. But I'll always answer back with scripture. You say things like, I'm going to kill you, I'm going to destroy you, I'm going to destroy your family, I'll destroy your ministry, I'm going to make you sick and kill you. I said, himself took my infirmities, bore my sicknesses. I said, by his stripes, I am healed. I said, you know, the Lord supplies all of my needs. I don't have a want. The Lord is my shepherd. I don't have a want. I have no worries. I turn all my worries on the Lord. God has all my worries concerned. I don't have any anxiety. No. And the Bible says in Proverbs, was it 29, you know, in my pathways, there's no death, but only life. Amen. Woo! And you just confess that. The Bible says, with long life will I satisfy him and show my salvation. With long life. And he died, David died, Roma died in a good old age, full of riches and wisdom. He said, if you're gonna die flat broke as a Christian, as a man of God, no way. The Bible says, David died in a good old age, full of rich wisdom, honor. Hallelujah. But you have to fight back with scripture. The Lord is my strength. I'm not going to lack any strength. And you feel really weak sometimes. Ever felt really weak? You say, no, hey, the Lord is the strength of my life. I remember, I don't suffer from fear. Like, just like I used to anyway. If there's other fears, then maybe I'll have to fight those. But the ones I used to get me, I don't have them anymore. I don't have one of those fears. You know, there's a scripture, and remember, you know, the Israelites are running the desert there, And the enemy Pharaoh was after them, and the chariots, the army of Egypt was coming behind them, and they're being pursued. They're looking behind. They could smell the hot breath of Pharaoh. And they're running and they're looking. There's a big water over there. And the enemy's coming closer and closer. You could just feel his presence coming. And they're looking back. They kind of look back every once in a while. Some of us look back once in a while where you came from. You know, the devil tells you you're going to end up again like you used to be. You're going to lose your mind. You're going to have a nervous breakdown. You're going to be broke. You'll be without. Your husband's going to die. You'll be alone. You say, well, I have insurance. No. You better have. But you better have scripture. Well, I have assurance that God says that with long life, right? I have assurance. Well, they're running. Pharaoh is a type of the devil. Yeah. Pharaoh was coming down with his army. The army is like demonic forces coming against you. And they're running away. They just got out of the prison house of Pharaoh. And they got set free. Now he's coming back for them. How many people know the devil just don't let you go? Okay, you can go. If you're sick, okay, we'll just walk away from you. No, he's going to come back again. And you have to stand strong on him. He'll try to come and attack you again. And you want to be discouraged again? You have to. The Bible says, listen, don't be discouraged by the enemies. But God says, don't be discouraged by them. So you have to turn around and look Pharaoh in the eye or look at the devil in the eye and say, listen, I ain't scared of you. The Lord is the strength of my life. And so they're coming. They're pursuing them. The Lord told them, listen, the enemy you see today, you will not see tomorrow. That's what he said. And they all died in, you know, they all died in the sea, right? And they didn't see him anymore. One day you'll wake up with all the fear that you had. You just wake up. Hey, where's that fear? It's gone. I remember listening to Brother Hagin years ago. He said, you know, he was paralyzed. When he was 17 years old, he died and he was going to hell. His spirit left his body and he was going down, down, down. He was not born again yet and he was going down, down, down. And as he's going to hell, he says, God, I'm a Christian. And he kept going down. God, I'm a church member. I belong to the church. And he said he kept going down, down, down. I've been baptized in water. He kept going down, down. He said he could see the hell and the darkness and the demonic force or the demon was there trying to grab him and take him in. He said, I'm going to fight as fast as hard as I can. He said, they grab him. He had no power to withstand his spirit. Pulled him by the way. Then he heard a voice. Spoke. He couldn't understand it because he's not Ojibwe. He heard a voice speak to him. And he said, that thing like it sucked him right out, went back up. And that happened a couple of times. Then he said, in the middle of my going back up, I'm praying the Lord's Prayer. The sinner's prayer. He said, then I'm back in my spirit. I'm speaking salvation, asking Jesus to come in my life. You know? It's amazing. He said, then after years after he got born again, the devil kept coming back to him. And he said, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to destroy you. And he said, every time he got up to preach, he said, that spirit would come and follow him right up to the pulpit as he's preaching, the demons talking to him that he's going to suffer the same fate he used to, and he was stuck in his bed for all those years. He's going to have the same thing. He'll have a stroke. He'll be in bed. He'll have a heart attack. So this didn't come. This disappointment just didn't go away just like that. He had to fight back. Yeah. See, some people think, you know, just do it one time. Mm-hmm. No, you're going to have to start. You're going to have to stand and keep standing until one day the horse and rider is drowned in the sea. You don't see him anymore. You don't have it anymore. I made a decision one day. You know, the Lord spoke to me. I'm driving down to Rocky Bay with a friend of mine. He says, come with me to a meeting, you know, house meeting. So I went with him. But I was always nervous. I was always had anxiety issues. I suffered from trauma. And I didn't understand trauma like people understand it today. And I was always in a traumatic state. Always, you know, had all these symptoms in my body and my mind was racing all the time. I looked calm, but I was always uptight. I'm driving down the road. The Lord talked to me, and he spoke to me from Isaiah 53. He said, I died for your peace. I want you to understand that I've died for your peace. The peace that I've given. Jesus said, that peace I leave you, my peace I give you. Right then, when I went to the washroom, we stopped for a break. I went to the washroom. I lifted my hands and said, God, thank you for the peace of God. And ever since that time, I didn't have that kind of issue again, but I still had attacks of it all the way through my life, up until just recently, this last few years. I made a decision, a decisive decision, I would never fear again, because Psalm 23 says, I shall not fear, because the Lord is my shepherd. He will always provide. He will always give me guidance. He'll always support me. He'll always give me whatever I need. I will not fear. Psalm 91 says, I will fear no evil. I will fear no evil. I made a decision that I saw in the Bible that I could actually make that decision on Scripture to not have anxieties anymore, not to have fears anymore. The Bible says we cast all our anxieties on the Lord. And it's a sin for you to have anxieties. People like to wear anxieties like, you know, it's a wonderful thing. I have anxiety issues. Can you see my badge? This is sin, to have anxiety issues. Now they'll just give you little pills and say, listen, you have an anxiety issue. You better take this. I do? Yeah. You need to take two. You know? So, you know, you have this problem. So anyway, so apply, learn, if you're discouraged, learn to apply those beliefs in your life and speak them out. Talk to yourself about it. Use your faith and understand the truth will always work for you. Let's close. Father, we want to thank you tonight in the name of Jesus. Everybody stand. Thank you, Lord God. I will not be discouraged. I give you all my discouragement. So I give every care to you, every worry. In the name of Jesus. I consecrate and dedicate my life to you. I give you my life, Lord Jesus. My life belongs to you. I thank you, Lord God. I will never be discouraged again. No matter what happens, you're always there for me. My life is in your hands. Discouragement has left me. I refuse to be discouraged. I will not quit. I will move on. I'm going from faith to faith. Thank you, Father. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Why should I be discouraged when God is my refuge? God is my strength. I am not alone. If God is for me, who can be against me? Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Lord God. You bless you. You go home. Don't be discouraged. Amen. You have a good evening. Thank you, Lord. Amen.